The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
What is up, my fellow addicts? Ralph Sutton, the SDR Show. Now a repeat guest. Love these guys. It is Nonpoint. Elias and Jason do the show. They perform live as well, and just super cool dudes. Really fun time with them. I remember we do the show every Wednesday, every Saturday, 9 p.m. Eastern time. You could use the code SDR. You get a 7-day free trial, commercial free, 5 days early. Live chat, all that shit we always talk about, but really, just get the word out there. We just want more and more people listening and spreading the SDR as far as possible. That's all we care about. But if you want to support directly, sure, gasdigitalnetwork.com, use the code SDR and get that 20% off and that 7-day free trial. Here it is right now, the Nonpoint episode of the SDR Show.
This is the intro to the shit show.
It is the SDR Show, Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll Show. I am Ralph Sutton, back once again. Now, I'd say, I don't even want to count how many times it's been on, but one of my go-to co-hosts, it is Gino Visconti. How are you, buddy?
Always good to be hanging out with you guys.
I could be wrong, but I feel like you plan. I want to make sure my background looks cool. You got an old school picture behind you. You want people to know you're manly, so there's football behind you. I get it.
Yeah, that picture, if I may, and I'm very proud, when my Aunt Olga passed away. yeah, cancer. This guy gets it. But that's a picture of my mother, my father, my Aunt Olga, my mother's sister, and my Uncle Frank, who were so old school, giddy, grew up on a farm. They lived across the street. Sorry, Shannon, across the street from each other. And that's them at a like one of those dances, you know, at a you know, like a not a country club, like a fire hall in the 50s.
Yeah, like one of those old like VFW halls or something. That's cool. And Shannon, of course, back. She's at the Gas Digital Studios where we saw this guy last time he did the SDR show. The band is Nonpoint. We have both Elias and one of the newer members, which I have to start with a great story. It's Jason sporting the Legion of Skanks hoodie, which he's letting us know right off the top. He is a fan of the network. So congratulations on that, or at least a fan of Legion of Skanks. I don't know about the network, but at least one show on the network. Thank you guys for being a part of this.
Definitely. Definitely a fan of the network. I'm a podcast binger.
Which
I know all your... the thing is ding.
Whoa. Oh
God, so
holy shit.
Yeah. I'm all caught up on you guys. I've about the last 2 or 3 years. I digest a lot of podcasts and most of the Gas Digital shows are, I'm a big fan of.
And Elias and I, we have a long history.
A different kind of gas.
Yeah. We were talking about this. It's one of my favorite moments. I've been in entertainment in one way, shape, or form as a radio, and then also the podcast and host of Shiprock and all this other shit, but shit pun intended here. One of my favorite moments in my life is we did a show on Shiprock for a one episode. It was going to be more, but it never happened more than once. It was called Talking Shit, and it was me and Elias taking shits in a public toilet with cameras over us and doing an interview about, I don't even know which album it was at that point, maybe The Return. I don't know what year it was.
Listen,
I can't even.
Listen, let me tell you something. When Ralph Sutton asks you for an interview, it's time and place.
Yeah.
You know, reflecting now back on that, I probably should have gotten more detail.
But I remember.
I thought you were going to say when Ralph Sutton asks you for an interview, you can pretty much schedule it anytime.
Yeah, schedule it anywhere. But what's funny is,
clear.
Gino, in my interest of, you know, my artistic integrity, I wanted it to be real. So I said, you let me know when you really have to shit. I'm holding one in. And we finally found each other. Like, we got to do it right now or it's going to be a problem. And we went in and did it. But so now I got a DM on Instagram and it said something like this. It said, hey, I'm new to the band Nonpoint. I was wondering if you would ever have the band on SDR show. I took it to mean I'm new to the band, as in I've just discovered this band. I just heard about them, even though they've been around 20-something years. I just discovered the band. Would you ever bring them on? And I responded with, I thought was somewhat nice, which was, hey, actually, Elias and I go back a long way. They've been on the show a few times. Here is a link to their live studio performance. And I thought that was the end of it. And then a few days later, Elias reaches out to me. He goes, dude, I am so fucking sorry. That is our brand new guitarist, Jason. He didn't realize that we knew each other. And he was trying to get the band on the SDR show. So I feel that that was just a great little moment in time.
Yeah. Go ahead, Jason.
I knew the history was there with you guys, especially with Shipwrecked. I had seen all the stuff old. I just didn't know that Elias had been on SDR. Right. And I reached out, and that's totally the response I got from you when you told me that too. I assumed you didn't even realize that I was in the band, and I got that from that. So
oh, okay, good. Because I didn't want you to think I was a total asshole. I mean, I am a total asshole, but not for that reason. I didn't want you to think that.
Well, it's even funnier is me getting the list from Jason, like, hey, you know, we're in this DIY kind of, you know, moment of our career.
Which I definitely want to get into. We'll talk about that as well. But continue.
Yeah, definitely. But, you know, Jason's like, you know, really good about, you know, staying on top of things and keeping on top of things in social media. And he does do the podcast thing way more than I do. So he was like, hey, I got all this list of stuff. You know, I sent messages to all these people. I'm looking through the list. I'm like, no. I'm like, Ralph is probably going, who the fuck is this? His secretary? Elias can't fucking pick up the phone and text me and maybe set up his own shit. He's really sending someone along to do an interview. I was like, hey, man, I'm so sorry. I don't know what that looked
like. When you said that, I was like, oh, shit. No, I didn't make the connection at all. And I apologize for not even realizing that BC was out and Jason was in. I didn't even know.
And then we laughed about it.
Yeah, it was a good laugh. And I mean, last time you here was 4X in 2018, which is now, I guess, almost 3 years ago. It's amazing how fucking time flies. But I mean, dude, I'm sorry. I'm glad we were able to make this work. And so now the one thing I want to ask you that's not 100% non-point related, but just an interesting thing I saw, and this is really for you, Elias, because I don't even know if this is legal, but I give these guys credit for doing something super fucking unique. There's a band called Dig the Grave. Have you heard of them?
No.
Okay, Jason? So they have a new album, a new song called ISO, right? Okay. What they did, which is they reached out to a bunch of really great metal bands, you guys, Sepultura, Megadeth, anyone that's on Cameo, okay? And asked them to do a live reaction to one of their songs and send it to them, right? Then they edited them all together and made that their music video. So you're in their music video commenting on their song. I don't even know if that's legal, but I give them credit on a crazy fucking unique way to release a single.
Hey, I'm not going to argue with it. Hey, you got it under my radar? Hey.
Yeah, I think it's fucking brilliant. I thought I'm like, that is fucking brilliant.
All right, guys.
Yeah,
so
I mean,
you see the package too. I wanted to pick the right time during the
yeah, it's really for, I guess, the cost of, you know, maybe a few grand to get a dozen rock stars, of major rock stars, to talk about their record as a video. I thought, like, that's a fucking creative as shit. I don't know the legalities of it, but I'm not gonna argue with it. I just thought it was a great idea.
Congrats to them. For real.
Right. Yeah, so good to them. And now, I know I've heard the first single, Relentless, that's going to be on the new record. Before we get into it, there's two things. One, there was a big cover campaign that you guys did. You guys have always been brilliant with your online marketing. I don't know who's in charge of that. Obviously, Jason reaches out to the podcasters, but I don't know who does the marketing. But the idea was you left it up to the fans. This is about, I don't know, maybe 5-6 months ago.
Yes.
And the new song is going to come out. The Prince is not out yet, right?
You know, well, here's the story behind that. First of all, I got to give credit where credit's due. Francesca Ludicar, she's our creative director. She's also a part of our administrative team and one of the owners and shareholders in 361 Records. She years ago started really telling our story and getting our pictures and our videos in line and really helping us tell the nonpoint story. So when it came time to to come out of the pandemic, because we had kind of gone silent, we had written Ruthless, gotten all of the calendar ready for recording the video, doing the photo shoots, and the pandemic hit, and we kind of went dark. We were already dark, expecting to come out in February, March with the new single. Because the pandemic hit, everything kind of halted, and then the entire world kind of went into this, what is going on? Everyone's so sad. Everyone's so broke. When's my next dollar coming? That we felt like it was time to come out of the dark here and reach out to our fans, because everybody's asking, where we were, because we were doing a lot of really fun stuff on our socials and really, engaging with our audience. So when we came back, Frankie had the idea of, hey, we got to, hit a couple spots here and make sure that we engage with purpose. First one was the Alive and Kicking campaign, which was really to give a shout out to the frontline workers. And then from there, we wanted to do something a little bit more fun. So we started the cover campaign, which just came from the idea of us starting with 64 songs because we wanted to do a cover, and us going, we can't decide this. We need to get some other opinions. So we did like that NAACP, not NAACP, the brackets, the brackets and left it up to our fans, because our fans we felt like they could really make a good decision for us.
And that's cool. Did you have a favorite that you were hoping would make it to the finals?
Yeah.
Down to Metallica and Prince. Those are the last two, and Prince won, right?
Yes. When Doves Cry ended up winning. I was big on a couple of them. But I'd say, I guess of all of them, I really wanted Ready or Not from the Fugees too.
That's a cool one. I didn't look at the whole list. I just, when it went down to the last like 16 is when I was looking, and that would have been a great one. I mean, who picked the actual initial 64 covers that went in there? The band?
All of us, yeah.
Oh, that's great. That's really cool. And when do you think that single will be released?
Well, it's already recorded. It went through many, many versions. And we got it. It's going to actually be on the B side of the 7-inch. It's our very first 7-inch that we've ever done. It's part of the pre-order for Ruthless. So if you want to get your hands on it, it's never before a nonpoint item. And it's got Ruthless on the front, and then the album B-side version of When Doves Cry.
Oh, wow. Okay, cool. So that leads me into this very unique part of nonpoint history. You guys have been around for over 20 years, like 23 years or something like that, roughly, right? I think, give or take a couple. But now the very, which I feel is very logical next step, in any band that has a fan base, you can't really do this if you don't have a fan base. But if you have a fan base, there is no reason these days for a fucking label. You should do it yourself. And I'm wondering a couple things. One, is it something that you were thinking about for a while? And two, do you think you would have had the time to really make this what it is, the 361 label, if it wasn't for the fact that the pandemic hit and you got a year off? Maybe it moved it way forward because had this time.
Exactly what you said is exactly what happened. It couldn't have worked without the pandemic. We put ourselves to the test, and we actually had the time to really dig in and build the right team and set it up right and figure out how to do it remotely, because Francesca's over in Canada, which was probably the biggest, thing, because she was one of the main, if not the main head of setting up our plan, getting our promotion, schedule set up, putting together the content, making it look as beautiful as it does. And she was in Canada. And we had actually just gotten her a visa, which is thousands of dollars, lawyers and all this other stuff. And we can't even use it. It was,
oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, because of the pandemic. So, it turned out to be a blessing, and we feel like we're in a better position.
Let me add this. And I've been saying this for the past year, like COVID. Yeah. Terrible thing. But I think it really raised the bar for the people that the genuine creators, the true artists that regardless of what's going on, like, and I used this quote before and they make fun of me, and it's like a Buddha quote, but it's that obvious to even me. It's like, if we don't go within, we go without. And when you go within, you have to create no matter what is going on, and it finds its place in the world, wherever that is. And even when they're like, look, you can't do that, you have to create. And there are a lot of people like, well, I can't do anything, and they shut down. But a lot of people really said, I'm trying to think who said, oh yeah, you 5 seconds ago, what an incredible opportunity it was. And I think that speaks volumes about the talent in that band, regardless of what Ralph was saying before you came in. I mean, I think you guys are really good.
Thank you.
Let me ask you this, with relation to the label, is there a plan to sign other bands, or it's specifically for Nonpoint, it's a Nonpoint label? Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, right now that is the only plan. I honestly feel like we're building a model that is going to be something that we're going to be able to have in a rinse and repeat kind of scenario. I would be excited to sign another band once we get through this cycle, work out all the kinks. We're finishing building out our team. We just brought in another team member. You know, as things are growing and moving so quickly, So that is the goal, because I really don't want to call it a label. We're calling it a label right now because we're releasing music through it, but it's really a band creative team partnership, because mm-hmm. I think the one thing that we miss in the partnership between traditional label and band is development and setup and detail. Right. And asking the artist the right questions to give your team everything that they need to present you the best by knowing what your strengths are and mm-hmm. knowing what you love the most. Because as long as you can wear it on your sleeve, you'll be able to sit on stage and, you know, make everybody happy, and the happier you are with it. And, you know, this goes to what he was saying, you know, the better your performance is going to be.
You know, what's funny is that over the last 5 or 6 years we've been doing SDR, we bring on a lot of bands. It's amazing how many bands labels have just fucked over continually. And most recently with the deal they made with the streaming companies, where it helped the labels, but didn't help any of the bands or artists. It made them money. It didn't make the artists money. It's just amazing how many years it was going on. And it just was like, well, they're the labels. What are you going to do? And now, everybody, which I love about technology, the same thing what we're doing right now, a Zoom call across different states, and you know, you're having a Canadian person that works at your label, is allowing you to take out that middleman and do everything yourself. It's fucking great.
Yeah, well, you know, you got to give credit where credit's due to labels. They have teams of people and artist teams and marketing teams and access and connections and contacts that help accelerate things that independent artists, it's nearly impossible to do.
Right.
So they hold certain keys to certain gates that, you know, when you have an artist that has, you know, great product and has a really good work ethic, those systems work amazing.
What's nice is they're also, technology allows Gino to keep his pedophile ring going strong internationally.
Stronger than ever. Wait, yeah. What?
but you know, labels too, they have to look at shareholders, and they have to talk to you know, people underneath them and look at budgets and go, hey, we know that there's a gem in the behind this band or deep inside there, but right now we can't justify spending that kind of dollar or spending that amount of time because you didn't really hit it
right
this
right,
time
right.
around, you know. So it's you know like I said, being on this side of it, having to deal with budgets, having to deal with contacts, having to deal with all that, I don't fault any label for being a label. They're doing what they can with the systems that they have in place. I just know that it takes a little bit more effort and detail for a situation like mine for it to be as successful as we're seeing it to be.
Right. Well, that's great. And then also the reviews so far for Ruthless is insane. I mean, everybody is loving it. I heard the song a few times, love it. I know you're going to do an acoustic version of it, but before we go any further, how did you find my DM friend Jason? Like, how did this come about?
I'll let Jason tell that story. I don't know all the full details.
Jason, but did you DM Elias and say, hey?
There's actually a weird 7 degrees of separation and all that. When I got in the band, I've known Rashid and Adam, our bass player and guitar player, for 20 years before Nine Point. And at one point, I actually replaced the guitar player that Nine Point got to replace their original guitar player in the band he was in. So,
oh wow, so you were following that guy? Okay.
Yeah. I always
Ralph, they're really good, buddy.
I always imagine what it would be like if I had gotten in the band then when the opportunity first came up. Mm-hmm.
So now, then when they got rid of BC, did they reach out to you? Like, how did it actually, the actual call go down?
I also know their management, and their management gave my profile, my Facebook profile, to Rob, the drummer. And he went through it and looked at it and then sent it to the guys. And Rashid's like, yeah, I know him. And Rashid vouched for me, and it was all history from there. The transition has been so incredibly smooth. Probably shouldn't be this easy. I'm still waiting for somebody to hit me upside the head or
well, they're going
to
jump you in. That happens at the 2-year anniversary.
Yeah, right? Told them. Come on. The interview's over.
This is great.
And how long have you been in the band now? Is it about a year and a half?
Yeah, it's been about a year and a half now. It was November 2019 when they made the announcement, but I've been working with them since like August.
That's great. That's so cool. I mean, it's got to be thrilling and exciting as well. That's just really fucking awesome. Let me ask you this, Elias. Yep. Did Jesus reply to you about the letter you wrote to about Mudvayne?
I'm still waiting on that reply. Okay. But I feel like he knows when I am sleeping. He knows when I'm awake.
I think you're confusing him with Kris Kringle, but.
No, but I feel like he's seen too many bad stuff. He's like, hey, man, you gotta earn that.
If you don't know what we're talking about, check out the Nonpoint band on Instagram. He wrote a letter to Jesus because he had promised to go to church more often and then changed his mind. It's worth watching. It's kind of amusing. All right, before we go any further, we're about to celebrate the 4th of July. So why not celebrate your freedom with Yo Kratom by going to YoKratom.com and getting yourself a $60 kilo of Kratom. If you're a fan of Kratom, you know sometimes you'll get $120, $180 for a kilo. You don't know how good it is. You don't know how long it's been sitting on the shelves. Well, how about direct from the wholesaler to you at YoKratom.com? And if you're a fan of Kratom, this is for you. You know that Shannon loves it. There's one strain, I forget the name always, it's called like Trainwreck or something, but she always has it in the studio. That is her favorite strain, but there's a bunch of them there. And, you know, you go to a bodega, you go to a gas station, we have no idea where that Kratom came from, so why not go direct to the source? Go to YoKratom.com, home of the $60 kilo. We've heard feedback from all the fans that do use it. It's solid, they love it, and they love that they know it's a $60 kilo. Always at YoKratom.com. All right, let's get back into it. Shannon, can you show this? We talked about Rob a little bit. This is from, I think it was 2016 on Shiprocked when we decided, we talked about this the last time you were on, but just it's been 3 years. We could talk about it again. We staged a fake fight on Shiprocked to see if people would believe that we were mad at each other.
Yes.
And people say I look very convincing in my photo, and I tell them it's because Rob had his thumb up my ass.
It looks like it. Yeah. Yeah, and people believed it for a little while.
People believed it. They were getting Team Ralph and Team Elias was going on Twitter, and we made it like an interview went bad, and you guys were mad at me, and you and I just had words, and people believed it. It shows you get – there's a lesson I learned from my business partner, Lewis, who I'm sure you know, Jason, Lewis J. Gomez, that people believe
the narrative.
Yeah. People believe the narrative that you feed them, and that narrative everybody on the boat believed for at least a couple days.
Absolutely. And what was even more messed up is we had to stop it because Team Ralph started threatening me and my life. And the life of my puppy.
That's how we throw down in the Team Ralph camp. That's how we do.
Not nice.
So now, I want to have the song played. In the interest of full disclosure, this was pre-recorded. It is a Zoom world.
Oh, no, I'm going to change my shirt real quick.
And you're going to get Rashid. Yeah.
He's a ninja, this guy.
Everyone's going to show up in the same apartment for 5 minutes and then
boom.
So we're going to play it right now. It is an acoustic version of Ruthless, right?
Ken, and let me tell you something. First time ever, ever. You're the first one to get it, first of all. Second of all, we figured it out that
in,
day.
Let me say this. In only knowing the regular electric version of it, I don't even know how the fuck you pulled this off acoustic.
We ask a lot of Jason. I'm so sorry, Jay. We are...
Jason, were you mumbling to yourself, the real ass dude wants me to do this? Is that how you got through it?
That's right. That's all I was thinking about.
All right, Shannon. So we're going to play it right now. We'll come back to talk more with Nonpoint.
I'm about to explode, speeding down a warpath front seat. Self-defense, call it battle by proxy. Goldilocks distance, how can I miss? With a crack shot aim and verbal game like this, tell the masses all to behold and get another fighter on the phone. All the ones they sent so far, they couldn't stop. All the ones they sent so far, didn't get so far. You wanna start it up without a way to win? I'm betting double or nothing, but I'm not gambling. You try to cage me up, but I got out again. You better cover your eyes. It's about to get ruthless, ruthless. It's about to get ruthless, ruthless. It's time to get ruthless, ruthless. Everybody get ruthless, ruthless. It's time to let the mud fly. Target identified. It's time to get ruthless. Statement is certified. It's time to get ruthless. Cover your eyes, yeah. It's time to get ruthless, ruthless. I'm about to go wild, swimming in a shark tank, field mouse, missing every turn and still banking in my wheelhouse. Bait them all, hook them all, sink them and run through them like it's the Olympics of life. And the road to gold is brick by brick, and only the bold, even broken and sick, are showing up to cause another episode. You're in the presence of a monster beast mode. Do you wanna start it up without a way to win? Double or nothing, but I'm not gambling. You try to cage me up, but I got out again. You better cover your eyes. It's about to get ruthless, ruthless. It's about to get ruthless, ruthless. It's time to get ruthless, ruthless. Everybody get ruthless, ruthless. It's time to let the mud fly. Target identified. It's time to get ruthless. Statement is certified. Time to get ruthless, cover your eyes, yeah, it's time to get ruthless, ruthless. Call it what you wanna call it, I'm calling it criminal. Just when they come in, it's about to get physical. It's an outrageous, but you're too lawless. Shadows are moving and they always got you crawling. Call it what you call it, I'm calling it criminal. It's about to get lawless. It's about to get physical, and it's about to get ruthless, ruthless. It's about to get ruthless, ruthless. It's time to get ruthless, ruthless. Everybody get ruthless, ruthless. It's time to let the mud fly. Target identified. It's time to get ruthless. Statement is certified. It's time to get ruthless. Cover your eyes, yeah. It's time to get ruthless, ruthless.
Dag nabbit. That was great. That was fucking great.
I love the little shout out to Beast Mode in that. That was awesome.
Let me ask you this. So like when you have a song that is so heavy and you have to figure out how to make it acoustic, how hard is that time frame to figure out how we're going to make this work acoustic? You know what I'm saying? As someone who has no musical ability, how difficult is that?
I don't know. How difficult was it, Jay?
It's always a challenge for sure, especially when it's all that palm mute and chuggy heavy stuff. We got to find a way to add a melody that really isn't there because it's so low tune and stuff like that. But Elias will usually give a vocal range and we can find the notes around it. We try to keep it as similar as we can. Like right. In that version right there, all you really have is the main riff is kind of the same. We totally restructured the chorus and made it different. It was definitely a challenge.
It's fascinating. I always wonder because it's such a, like, you hear the original, you're like, well, how the fuck are they going to, like, when I was told you were doing Ruthless Acoustic, I'm like, well, how the fuck are they going to pull that one off?
Well, you asked, Ralph.
I'm allowed to ask. Hey, I'll send Team Ralph against you again. You know what I'm saying?
That's why.
They're going to kill your fucking cat.
Exactly.
So hey, now, hey, let's go a couple of quick things. I have a few more questions. Number one, tour dates. Like, what's happening tour-wise?
We got two festival shows booked right now, Blue Ridge and Rebel Rock. We are in the conversations of putting together something. So we'll definitely, fans will definitely see us before the end of 2021.
Yeah, I just saw the lineup for, was it Rebel Rock? That's what it's called, Rebel Rock, right? There's a crazy, it's a crazy lineup.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, that's really wild.
Yeah.
And now this is obviously the first single. Are you planning on doing more? Like, how is the release structure going for this new Nonpoint era?
Every song gets its time in the sun. So you'll be, you know, you'll be presented song after song after song after song until, you know, you're sick of it. And then we're going to pivot into the next thing. So it's really about giving everything, you know, there's a lot to be said about your favorite song on our record that didn't get a chance, that you didn't get a chance to hear on the radio, or you didn't get a chance to see a visual representation of. We want to at least, you know, touch on everything with every single song.
I've been saying this forever. That is the fucking way to do it. And I love the, I watched the first one. I didn't have enough time to watch all of them, but the three part documentary that you did, that is all about this process. And it's crazy because the first episode was pre-pandemic. So you had to, like, also put that in there, or you'd had people pissed off, I'm sure, that this was filmed before anything happened. And it's great. It's a three-part series on your YouTube channel. They're each about 20 minutes long. I really, it was so, whoever's putting those together.
Frankie.
I really, congrats to her, because it is beautifully shot, beautifully edited. It is so well put together.
Yeah, she's a very important part of our team, if not the most important right now, because she knows how to tell the Nonpoint story, and she's so talented behind a camera and with graphic arts and promoting. She just understands everything.
And now, in 2020, you guys released a tribute to the frontline workers called Remember Me. How long did that take to put together, and that release for that one?
Jay, how long did that one take again?
We were throwing around a couple extra songs or a couple more songs after Alive and Kicking. And then, I think I suggested we need to do, that song. And then Rob Rucha, who another part of our team, who you'll never hear a band, any other band like us, give as much credit to our engineer and our creative director, Frankie, than we do. And, Rob gave a piano version, backing version of it, and then we started building it from there. And I think we put that song together in about a month, but we were going back and forth daily with different versions and things like that.
And all the people, all the frontline workers that are in that, are they just people that you reached out through your socials? Is that how you got those people?
Yeah, we reached out to our 361. A suggestion from Frankie. You know, she said, hey, it would be amazing if we could get some of these people that are thanking us for even considering to do this kind of thing, to get them in the video. And it was, they came to bat. It was an awesome experience.
And also, by the way, Gino, you may not know this, but I'll be speaking your language here. Elias and I, severe drinking buddies on Shiprocked, where we both got pretty obliterated pretty often right before a Nonpoint show, which is pretty wild.
It was very,
Oh, please go. Please, Elias.
It was very, it was about 5 to 10 foot waves. I just wanted to say that.
Oh,
it was pretty wild. It was pretty wild.
Let me ask you this, Elias, because, you know, we do a tour with some of comedians and stuff. And like fans want, like, am I wrong? Because fans want to drink with me because daddy's a fun drinker, right? You know, I like a beverage.
Yes.
Come out, they want to drink. And because I'm a people person and I'm a really good drinker, you know what I mean? I don't drive drunk. I don't hit whip.
Well, that's where you go wrong.
And then my right brain there, goes to autopilot and I go to bed, right? But people take pictures of me obliterated and they're like, look how drunk we got Gino. And then I said to the fans, like, now I'm not fucking drinking with you for 2 months because I got to put him in a timeout. Who raises, did you ever, or you, Jason, ever get so drunk? We're like, now let's take a picture of this guy. Who does that shit, right?
No, that's a shitty friend.
Yeah.
It's just people who aren't good at drinking. That's what that is. They're not friends. They're just idiots. I'm sorry. What were you saying there, Alessa?
No, they're trying to get you in trouble is what they want. They want to steal your shine right there. That's not a real friend, like Jason said. It's not a real friend.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Yeah. And let me ask you this one, Elias. This could be a very sensitive question here. We just did an interview with the singer of Counting Crows. Okay. And he very recently, probably if there's any dude in music that is associated with dreads currently, it's him and you. He cut all of his dreads. Would you ever cut your dreads?
You know what? I don't think so. I don't know. It's just, there's so much a part of my personality right now. And, you know, there's so many wonderful things about dreads, like, you know, spitting on them when you're brushing your teeth and, you know, accidentally hitting them with the toilet paper when you're wiping your ass. And
getting caught in your wife's sniz.
Yeah, going to reach down next to something by the toilet, one of them falling in the toilet.
Well,
there's so many.
You said brushing your teeth and wiping your ass, so you could grow them. That wouldn't be a problem for you, Ralph. Yeah.
So yeah, they make for a good visual on stage. It's part of production. You can't hurt yourself.
But I think he's a lot older. He's 56, so he just cut them now. So you got a few years to figure it out if you still want to keep him at 56.
Oh, if I'm still ruthless and at 56, that'll be quite they'll be probably to the floor and all gray,
they're pretty fucking close to the floor right now. They look longer than the last time I saw you.
It'll be a new look.
That's crazy.
Ooh. Yeah, they got pretty long.
They got really long. My God.
They're pretty long now, longer than my arms.
And you know what's funny, by the way, what I always do when someone's coming on the show, I just Google their name to see what's going on. What are they talking about? I want to make sure I didn't miss anything. And the number one story, and we're not going to get into it, but it's just weird that if I type in your name, this is the first story that comes out, is you talking about David Ellefson and what just happened with him. I don't know why.
You know what's funny is that you'll be able to tell. You could see it on the interview. You'll see it on the interview. I had no idea what was going on.
Oh, I just saw that. That's wild.
Let me tell you something. I'm so deep into the label. Jason will vouch for me. I wake up every morning at 5:30 and I go until my wife will vouch for me as well. And I go till about 9 o'clock at night. So I'm not in the tabloids.
Why your quote that said, David Ellefson, say what you will about the man. He really puts it out there. It's like, whoa, easy.
Oh, I didn't. Is that what
no,
it
he didn't say?
Oh,
that. He didn't say that.
No. I said, Dave is an old friend and he was a sweet man. He's
a great guy. He's such a nice guy to me. He's never been anything but incredibly nice.
I said, whatever happened, I hope he sees himself through it in a positive way. I don't want anything bad to happen to the man. And, you know, now that I, of course, I get off the interview and I check and it's like when you read on the story and everything, it's a very private and very touchy subject.
Yeah, I don't know. It just was weird. That is right now the first thing that comes up when you Google your name.
That's crazy. I had no idea. You're the first person to tell me. See, this is how out of touch I am. I have no fucking clue.
Such a weird thing to pick out from that interview to make a headline about.
But we argue about that all the time. So sometimes things are said in an interview that can be clickbaity. Like, oh, we could highlight this and get press. But I choose never to do that because I feel like it's a shitty thing. Like the best example I give was there was an article, the worst clickbait ever. It said, Tommy Lee's shocking AIDS announcement. I'm like, what? I click it. And is that he was working with an AIDS charity? Is that shocking?
Yeah.
But they want you to click the fucking article.
It's a perfect shitstorm timing thing right there, especially because he's just because all that stuff just came out about Dave and he just happened to have just mentioned his name in an interview. And that's the only thing they picked out of that whole interview.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's really nuts. And now this is a more important question. Okay. I'm going to Miami again to visit my mom in a few weeks. Right. And I watched an interview where you were talking about your favorite. I mean, you're part Dominican. I forget what your other half is, but
Dominican, Puerto Rican.
Puerto Rican, and you said that it's all about mofongo. I've only had decent mofongo. Where do I go for great fucking mofongo, either in New York or in Miami?
In Miami, Miami is not where you go for mofongo. Mofongo is where you want to go off 441 in Hollywood. There's a Dominican place that makes the most unbelievable mofongo you'll ever have in
anything
your life.
Anything in New York City? Because now you're making me travel. I'm there to see
well,
my
New
mom.
York, and... New York. I don't know New York like you know.
Okay, fair enough. I got to be on a mofongo hunt now because I don't. Yeah. I do love the concept of it, you know. And the one
you got to go to a Dominican lady's house.
Okay.
That's all where right. You got to go. You don't go to a restaurant to get mofongo.
Yeah, if they have linen tablecloths, it's probably not going to be good mofongo. Is that what you're saying?
No, the table has to have cigarette burns in it.
Oh, yeah.
Resting the cigarette, you know, the line burn that, you know, the back in the day used to have on this, you know, on the couch, on and the coffee table.
There was one other quote of yours that I could not agree more with because, you know, it's weird if you only like one style of music, right? And if that's you only identify as a rock dude or a rap guy, whatever it is, and you and I equally have a real love for R&B, right? And I grew up with that. My mother only listened to R&B music. But there is something about a rock crowd that is unlike any other crowd anywhere. And I've always felt that. And I saw you say that exact sentence in an interview. And that's why we all gravitate towards rock.
Yeah, it's their commitment to the actual culture. It's different than, you know, a rap crowd that gets dressed up for a show and is holding their drinks and, well, even in the middle of their favorite song, we'll step away for a second and that kind of thing, where it's like in a rock crowd, you run in, you plant yourself at the front until you pee your pants because you don't want to lose your space, right, and exhaust yourself just waiting for your favorite band to get on and, you know, maybe break a rib or two against the barricade because people are being idiots and, you know, maybe have a boot print on the back of your head from crowd surfers. And, you know, I have had so many, you know, face-to-face, eye-to-eye moments being on a rock stage that I see other genres almost have pause and keeping their audience at an arm's length,
right,
because they don't want that and only do it kind of when they feel like it, where a rock crowd, they're not going to wait till you feel like it. They're going to do it when they want.
And they'll also spend their last dollar on a beer, like they'll whatever it is to experience that rock and roll. Gino, what's the vibe like at a Lilith Fair concert? Because I know that's where you go.
Well, if you cut in line, you will get beaten within an inch of your life with a Birkenstock. But some of us are into that. Some of us are into that.
That's a turn on for you, right?
Yeah. And when you cut in front, someone screams, looks at you in the face, and says, "I will remember you." Too much. Did I?
I get it. I get that. I get that tie-in. All right.
Yeah,
look,
Elias gets it. This guy.
As we're getting ready to wrap, I realize it is, while Elias has been on the show a few times, it is Jason's first time on the show. So we have to do the first with Jason, Shannon.
The first time. Ever I saw concert, did drugs, had sex.
Yay.
All right, so it is the SDR show, Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll show. As I think you might know, if you apparently are a fan of the show, even though you didn't know Nonpoint was on the show probably three times, but all right, we'll let it slide. We ask you about your first experience with sex, drugs, and rock and roll. We start with rock and roll. We mean the first concert you ever went to on your own volition, meaning you weren't dragged to by your parents and not some local band we never heard of, something we're going to know. Go ahead.
Slayer, Machine Head, and Biohazard at the Aragon Ballroom. I was about 15 and a half, and a friend's dad drove us downtown and dropped us off. And came back and got us.
Wonderful.
That's awesome. That is
passed
awesome.
Out, passed out twice at the concert, smoking pot for the first time. It was so hot and muggy at a Slayer show.
That's great. By the way, Rob Flynn has a show on the network called No Fucking Regrets for Machine Head. So there's a little plug for him. So now you just kind of touched on a little. The next one is drug first drug you ever did. You did pot at the concert, but we usually say after weed because weed's everybody's first drug for the most part.
Yep. All right. So after that, it'd have to be a little bit of nose candy, a little bit of coke. Was hang out at a friend's house, one of those houses. Everybody's got that house, and you hang out in the neighborhood and stuff like that, and everyone goes to. Well, I'm hanging out. His brothers are out in the garage hanging out. They leave. We go out in the garage, and there's a bunch of powder on a table. Well, the dude I'm hanging out with, he's done it before. He chalks it up on the table, and he goes, "You want it?" I'm like, "All right, cool." You know, so I did it, and then we go downstairs. He's like, "All right, dude, I'm gonna go to bed now." And I'm like, "What?" This is like the first time I did it. So, and his room is pitch black. So I'm on the couch, pitch black at like 1-2 in the morning with my fucking pillow in a headlock trying to go to sleep.
How old were you?
Probably 16, 17.
Okay. So 15 and 16 were big years for you, it seems. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
And now the first time you ever had sex.
That's another weird story.
Good. We like weird stories.
Hanging out.
All coked up. So I wake up this pussy that couldn't hang.
Well, it's
teach
weird.
Him a lesson about anal.
I was hanging out.
I didn't want to spoil it, Jason. You tell it.
You're better, Jason.
You're almost there.
You were there.
So I was hanging out with a friend's sister for her birthday party. And for some stupid, weird reason, me and one other guy friend were the only ones invited to this birthday party. So all my friends are hanging out downtown. They meet a strange girl downtown, come back to the sister's house. They're hanging out. They're like, "Hey, we met this girl. You got to meet her, blah, blah, blah." So meet her, end up going back to another friend's house. It had been pouring rain on the way there. So we get there and she goes into the bathroom and just starts taking off her clothes because she was all wet. But with the door open, we just met this girl on the street. My friend.
You see how quickly Gino looked at the camera all of a sudden? He's like, "Go on."
Yeah, he's drooling.
I know.
So anyway, I walk into the doorway just being a smart ass, and she's like, "Shut the door." I'm like, "All right." So I walk in, shut the door. She's like, "So what do you want to do?" I'm a dumb punk who's never had sex before. I had a condom in my pocket. I pulled the condom out and I flashed it. And she goes, "All right." So we on the dirty floor in the bathroom at my friend's house with my punk friends on the outside door, banging on the door going, "Wait till you're married. Till you're married."
Your punk friends?
Looking underneath the door crack, trying to sneak a peek. Yeah. They're being sarcastic assholes.
I get it. Yeah.
So that was my first experience with that.
How old were you?
That was 15 and a half too.
Wow, big time for you. Look at that. All happened in the same year. Good for you.
Yeah.
That's right. And did you ever see that girl again or it was a one-off thing?
For a few weeks after, but not really. She ended up being a little bit of a floozy.
And now, obviously she fucked some strange punk dude on her first time meeting her. You think she got class?
Did she want anything in return for the sexual act?
Like $50? Is that what you're saying?
No, we're just young, but she had just moved into town. I don't know. It was definitely odd. And she was with her parents walking around downtown with us, and her parents pushed her off on us as like, "Go hang out. There's some kids. You can try and meet some friends.
Take my whore daughter. Do something with her."
Oh, yeah. It was a strange situation.
Right. Now, let me ask you this, Jason, for my next question. Are you a single man right now?
No.
Okay. Then I can't ask my next question, because now that you're in Nonpoint, even though you haven't done any tour dates yet, the question would be your first, which Gilby Clark from Guns coined this term, which is rock star sex, meaning the first time you had sex because you were in a big band, but now you haven't gone and doing too many dates, I would imagine, because it's all been during COVID, right?
Right. Yeah, and so I'm happily married too, so I don't need none of that.
Is it that same girl from the bathroom? No, I'm sure.
Rock star sex is not the same as comedian sex, where the second you finish, the girl calls her dad screaming, "Why won't you hug me?"
And by the way, Elias, I've said this to you before. You know, the reason why I met you on Shiprock however many years ago was through your wife, and she's just the coolest chick in the world. She's a great person. So I just wanted to say that.
Yeah, my wife wanted me to make sure that she says that I said hi.
Yeah, and also, I'll tell you this. When I said Nonpoint's coming on, Shannon goes, "Oh, God, I love those guys." So she made her happy as well. Because as any Shiprock fan will say, you guys, even though you're not on this year, or the next one, whatever it is, next year. You guys are synonymous with Shiprock. There's like the coolest fucking guys on the boat every fucking year. And you're just awesome dudes. So the new album is, well, the new single is Ruthless. It is out now. Nonpoint Band on Instagram and very active on social media. You guys doing it right. Congrats to your whole team and the new 361 Records that you guys launched this April. And I'm excited to hopefully see you guys in New York City. If you do come around, we'd love to bring you the whole band in again, because that you guys were the first and maybe one of the only bands to play live in Studio B. We shoved ourselves into the little studio that day.
Yeah, yeah. We were like, the acoustics in here are great.
Yeah. And I think it was Rashid that fell in love with our bidet and came out 20 minutes later. He got very romantically involved with our bidet in the bathroom.
His life changed. It's never been the same. He still talks about that bidet.
All right. Did I forget to plug anything else that you guys want to plug before we go around the room?
No, the pre-order for Ruthless is up. That's the way we keep filling our cup and keep the 361 machine going. So if you're a fan of the band or just want to do something good for us and the team, it's the way we pay our team. So support the pre-order. Nonpointstore.com.
Nonpointstore.com. And that will have the B-side of the cover song of Prince as well.
Correct. One of the 7-inch. We have jerseys. We have slides. We've never done slides before. We have this commemorative plaque that has the artwork and has your name etched in.
Wow.
A bunch of really cool stuff that we've never done before.
I give you credit. You guys are definitely doing it right. All right, Gino, your plugs.
Same old, guys. You can catch me on CompoundMedia.com. As I said today on my show, if you're not supporting Gas Digital and Compound Media, although I said in the other order, you're an idiot. There's nothing good on regular TV anymore.
All right. And Shannon, your plugs?
You can follow me on Instagram and TikTok at ShannonLee6982 and listen to my podcast, The Thing Is Ding. We talk about bad dates, fighting, and ghosts.
Elias, do you believe in ghosts?
Absolutely. Get me on the show.
Boom.
I have stories.
Oh, great. I'm sure. And I'm sure you have fighting stories, too. I don't doubt that you have a couple of good fighting stories. Don't answer that question to me now, but I'm sure you do. Jason, you believe in ghosts?
I ride the line. Yeah, I need some more proof.
Ride the line. We get it. You like cocaine. You don't have to keep bringing it up. Sakes. All right. Follow me everywhere at I Am Ralph Sutton. And my other podcast on health and wellness is called The Good Sugar Podcast. I do that with the founder of Juice Press. Comes out every single Monday. Guys, love you guys. Elias and Jason, I promise next time you DM me, I won't be such a douchebag. And we'll do this. We'll play the actual original version of Ruthless. We add a song every week to our playlist so that people can hear the balls out version as well on Spotify. We'll do that on our Spotify playlist, Ruthless from Nonpoint. And we'll see everyone next week on the STR show. Love you guys. Peace.
Love you, bro.
I'm about to explode. How can I miss with a crack shot? A memorable game like this. Someone matches all to be home. And get another fighter on the phone. All the ones they sent so far, they couldn't stop me. All the ones they sent so far, didn't get so far. You wanna start it up without a way to win? I've been double or nothing, but I'm not gambling. You try to catch me up, but I got out again. You better cover your.
Listening to the SDR show.